Earlier in the show, we heard about those riots in Detroit that began 40 years ago today. Here now, another view from Detroit from native day-to-day essayist David Wass.
In 1967, I was a 15-year-old living in the lily-white suburbs of the Motor City. Our junior high school had been integrated a few years before, and we'd welcomed our African-American peers without incident. In fact, we'd embraced them and their music and fashion and burgeoning class consciousness. We were all tadpole radicals then, awakening to the ideals of racial and social justice, and bound together by our love for local heroes like The Temptations and Marvin Gaye. Solidarity, baby. But then came that long, hot summer of 67, when the Detroit police went postal on some everyday party people in the inner city, and all hell broke loose. Nervous Caucasians living well away from the violence kept their eyes glued to the television as I walked up and down my block, falsely claiming that the rioters had crossed 8 Mile Road, Detroit's black-white Mason-Dixon line, and were rolling toward us like a bowling ball. Deadbolts were locked in unison. At my high school, black students felt obliged to stage a few sympathetic acts of civil disobedience, ripping out lighting fixtures in the hallways and kicking a little mild butt here and there. I sat in front of the gymnasium watching it with gleeful fascination when one of the young rioters approached me with a yardstick, intending to measure my blonde and blue-eyed head with it. But Larry Allen, one of his comrades who knew me to be a sworn devotee of Miles Davis, protected me from harm. It was fitting poetic justice, and no mistake, that hometown girl Aretha Franklin's Respect was a number one pop smash that same year. Her hot-blooded cover of Otis Redding's ostensible love song channeled the desire of Detroit's poverty-stricken masses for dignity and economic opportunity. George Clinton came and played at one of our high school dances, lip-syncing his local hit, I Wanna Testify, with his first group, The Parliaments. He was the first black hippie anybody had ever seen and stunned all of us, no matter our skin shade. Thinking back on it all, maybe they should have just placed a dome over my beleaguered hometown and charged admission, giving it a theme park name like Murderland. But that would obscure the fact that out of suffering comes great beauty, whether that means Motown Records, Eminem, or the White Stripes. We are as proud of our scars as we are of our stars. Here's hoping we can return to building the kind of great automobiles that'll prevent Tokyo from usurping our throne as the Motor City. Are you listening, Mr. Ford?
Detroit's David Wass, half of the musical duo Was Not Wass.